Of course, here at home, Homeland Security has kind of raised the alert level to orange. That's the second highest it can get. Red is severe. All this based on what's happening in the United Kingdom now, where they have apparently thwarted a major terrorist act where they plan to bring down about 20 planes in midair. They have arrested 20 suspects. Scotland Yard all over this. Apparently, part of the problem is that there is some kind of liquid bombing device that their detectors will not detect. And they're very concerned about that. So they have, at this moment, stopped all hand-carried luggage on their planes as well. So you can imagine what kind of a mess that will be. Ladies, those of you with purses, gentlemen, those of you who carry on smaller items as well, just a disaster at the airports, and we'll continue to monitor this story as we, of course, are in our floating format. We'll take a few open line calls here, and then we'll be right back in just a moment. We had someone who's been on hold for a long time. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George?
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to go to you so you didn't have to hold too long for us. Go ahead.
No problem. I'm going to get kind of direct to the point because I think you'll find the story interesting.
Okay, sir.
You're talking about you had the moon line. And I probably didn't call your moon line, or did I?
No, it doesn't matter. That's okay.
Okay.
The moon line's only for moon stories. All the other lines, anybody can call for with anything, including a moon story.
Cool. Well, I don't want to shoot it down, so here I'm going to get right to the point here.
All right.
I have talked to Art Bell and Mike Siegel, and this makes you a triple threat. Now I just need to talk to Eon Punnett.
All right. But, well, that'll be the four horsemen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of feel it's the score. So I'm going to go right to the point. You're saying about the full moon thing. I got to thinking back in November 11, 2000, I was driving with my brother, who were truck drivers at the time. It was November 11, 2000.
All right.
Now, on 11 of 2000, there was a full moon. We were 15 miles outside of Ellensburg, listening to Art Bell, and we saw two triangles. Well, let me go back a little bit. We're going over the hill. I don't know if you drove from Yakima to Ellensburg.
No, I have not. I have not.
Okay. Right before you get to Ellensburg, it's kind of like a hill you have to go over. Right before that hill, I saw a bright flash. Both me and my brother saw a bright flash. I mean, it was real quick, too, kind of like a if you had a flash on a camera. Took the picture. Flash. And I said, did you see that? And I'll call him CW. I said, did you see that, CW? He said, yeah. I said, that's bizarre. And he said, yeah, shrugged his shoulders. So we get on top of the hill. As you go down to into Ellensburg, we got just down at the bottom of the hill. I look to my right outside the truck. I look over, and in Ellensburg, it's fairly flat, as the town is fairly flat. I look over to the hills to what would be the Tennessee East. I see three lights. I look, glance to the road. I look back, and I'm in the passenger seat. I said, Corey, or CW says, what are you looking at? I said, you ain't going to believe this, but you might be able to see this for the first time in your life. He says, see what? A UFO. I said, look, and he got to peek down and look up. I said, you see that? He goes, yeah, I see that.
It must have been huge.
It's chilling me right now. The reason why I want to get through it is because, I won't even tell you because I'll just get to the story. We're running, and that's what I mean by trucking. We're running, and I look back, and there's two of them. So CW, there's two. He goes, no. I said, yeah, look. So he looks over. There's six sets of lights and they're both off from each other. I said, you see that? He says, yeah. And about that time, the heater goes out on the truck. He goes, yeah, I see that. And I say, well, pull over. And he is like, his ears went shut. He didn't want to pull over. I said, pull over. And he goes, I don't want to.
Well, were these close enough for you to be able to see them? To see exactly if there was any structure to them? Hello? Well, he's gone. Talk about pull over. They must have pulled him over. Hey, Doug Hagman back on the line with us. Doug, this situation in the United Kingdom, what kind of an effect is it having on us here?
Well, it's raising the threat level, George, of our airline transportation industry to a heightened state of alert. I believe that the Michael Chertoff just issued a statement that they're raising the threat level at this point to orange on a national level. And in terms of the specific the transportation industry, it will probably be even higher than that in certain areas. So it's really going to have a trickle down effect here. And the information we're getting, too, is that
you and I were just talking about how it is only a matter of time before there's some kind of terrorist act or plot, and then, boom, it pops up immediately.
Exactly. You know, it's not all that much unexpected. I mean, we had information earlier in the day that there was things brewing, and it was non-specific information. And then as the day went on, of course, we received some specific information and the indication that the level for the United States was going to be raised, and in fact it has been. So.
Well, one of their problems, Douglas, is apparently this liquid, whatever it may be, is not detectable, and they're really concerned about it. Sounds like some newer form of explosive.
Well, there's a couple different explosives that they're very concerned about. One is a foam type, and the other is, of course, a liquid, without getting too specific. But they can be carried into the aircraft, and if you x-ray it, hey, it might look like a can of shaving cream.
Oh,
or,
God.
You know? So, I mean, it's very easy to hide, and it's very highly explosive, and it is lasts in various environments. It's a very durable explosive.
So these are obviously suicidal type people, because they're going to be on the planes at the same time, right?
Absolutely. And this is a very major plot, a very significant threat to the UK, and of course to targets here in the United States, on both coasts.
Here's the question: have they captured? You know, they've got 20 suspects, but do they have all of them? Who knows?
We don't know. The indication we have is there's some in the United States and Canada, as well as two other European countries aside from, in addition to the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, Doug, thanks for the update.
Sure.
Appreciate it. We'll be back in a moment. We're in a floating format, so please bear with me as we do a full moon open lines tonight as well. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yes, this is George from Saginaw.
Hey, George.
I'm a third-generation Lebanese-American,
mm-hmm.
and I respect your opinion. However, I have to personally disagree with you on your statement that the Muslim faith is a peace-loving organization.
Why?
Because it's bothered me ever since 9/11 that not one leader of the Muslim faith, not an imam, not a cleric, or whoever, I don't know if they have a central figurehead, but not one person has come forward, either in the newspapers, on television or radio, to my knowledge, to apologize for what happened at 9/11 and to disavow that it was the act of the Muslim faith.
You know, I can't name them, but there were a few that came forward after 9/11 to talk about it being a despicable act. Not a lot. And again, who were they? I don't know. I don't know their names. I have a difficult time pronouncing their names when I'm doing the news stories, to tell you the truth. And let me tell you what I meant by that. I'm saying that the tremendous majority of Muslims are good people, and they want a peaceful life, and they don't want any part of what is going on, of the violence and the terrorism. That's not to say that a lot of them over in the Middle East are also fed up with the situation that's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, here we are in Britain, where they picked up 20 suspects who apparently were going to blow themselves up and take 20 planes and people down with it. It's a tough situation. But I don't think the religion per se is a religion today that incites violence. I think, as you were probably pointing out, some of the leaders of this faith are the ones that are doing this.
That's correct. But I compare it to Nazi Germany with the following and the order of the Third Reich, that there were probably a lot of German people that were totally against what was going on, both in the war effort on their part and the concentration camps. However, because of the leadership, and I would compare that to the assassination groups that exist, mostly in the Middle East, that there may be a silent majority of peaceful people, but we don't hear about them because of the lack of respect for life by the people that are in the terrorist organization.
I agree with that, George. I think you're right on with that.
They're not safe either. And as long as those groups will eradicate families whole in numbers, I don't think a peace movement is likely to start anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either. And that is very unfortunate, because if this thing gets any worse, what we heard today that's happening in Britain is just the tip of the iceberg. George, thanks for the call. I got to move on. We'll go to our full moon line. You're on Coast to Coast. It is your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jack in Amarillo.
Hey, Jack. What's up?
Well, I've worked as a 911 dispatcher for a couple of different law enforcement agencies for several years now that I've been out of broadcasting. And we do tend to see an increase in activity with a full moon. And, of course, a lot of that depends on other factors, because we also see an increase in activity with other natural events like extreme heat situations, the long-term having.
Right.
And, of course, high winds, real blustery days, a lot of strong winds and things like that affected as well. And I've also, seen different things about areas where they have, earthquake activity.
Oh, there's no doubt. Jim Berkland, who does earthquake predicting, tells us that during these periods, they're the prime periods for earthquakes. And they've got to have, if moon gravity has anything to do with it, we're primarily liquid. So our brains are getting pulled too, and the liquid in our brains, the blood in our brains is being spread. And it's got to have an effect on your mind.
Well, the theory that I had about this as I was driving home this evening, listening to what we were talking about and looking at that moon, the fact that it is reflected light. And when we observe other bodies in the universe, we use spectral analysis as one of the tools. And okay, so we're looking at reflected light, which mm-hmm. is a different makeup of the light that we normally get from the sunshine. And also, you notice, at least in the legend in the movies, that werewolves are wolfier when the moon is not obstructed by the cloud cover or something like that. And as far as military activities go, a full moon is a tactical advantage when you've got the light to, conduct operations, or it also could expose you. So, but the content of the reflected light, whatever, differences are in the spectrum that we receive from that versus normal sunlight, I know there's been research as far as how ultraviolet light and other frequencies of light affect animal behavior. And I think that could possibly also be a contributing factor.
But you are convinced it is affecting people during the full moon period?
Yes, and it's strange that not all the time that we have a full moon does it, so I'm not sure if it's working certain other activities, but we do see things. I mean, there's a lot of times when I would get a phone call and somebody wants to suck on an AK-47 or they're you know, I mean, you just, it do just really bizarre and stupid things. Of course, animals are affected this way, too. I mean, we have, a lot of times there'll be, like, more deer will get hit by cars, or more cows will be getting out and getting on the highway, things like that.
Almost so, like everything goes into a trance-like state, huh?
There's something to it.
All right, good. Thanks for the call. We're going to continue with open lines tonight while we float the format and give you updates on just what is going on in the United Kingdom. These were planes that were going to be bound for the United States, and they broke this thing up. They had this thing under investigation for a couple months, so I'm going to assume for a moment that Scotland Yard has been on top of this story far better. Far better than what we were back on that horrible day on September 11th of 2001. But for those of you who may seem shocked by this story, don't be, because it's a matter of time and, sadly enough, long time overdue. These things I've been expecting to have occurred some time ago. So they're coming now, and there'll probably be more of them. I'll be back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Waleed Shubat will be our guest. Waleed is a former member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, and he is broken away from that organization. He'll tell you why in a very special three-hour interview. Waleed has been on most major news organizations for just a few minutes at a time. We've got him tomorrow night for 3 hours. The United States, by the way, has just said that no liquids will be permitted to be taken on planes. No liquids at all. The UK terror plot involved liquid chemical devices. And so there's going to be more on this story as this unfolds over the next day or two. And we'll keep you abreast of that here on Coast to Coast, as will your other news outlets. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines for the next hour and a half. Let's go back to the phones. And don't forget our full moon topic open line, which is 818-817-0021. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Joseph from Watkins, Georgia.
Hey, Joseph.
All right, just a couple of things here. One of them about the wildlife, pets, and all that with the full moon.
Yeah.
It's only natural. During the day, man moves around during the light, because he has plenty of light, he can see what he's doing.
True.
It's the same thing with an animal on a full moon. They can see more, so they react to everything. It's as simple as that. Of course, you know, I'm not an authority, but oh well. second thing, and this has always been, that when I was younger, it kind of worried me, but as I got older, I understood. My name, when you add it up, all three of them come to 666. And it kind of freaked me out, you know, when I was young.
I would think so, Joseph.
Yeah, well, I figured it out. It's just a name. It doesn't really affect much what I do. Now, the last is the thing I called about. It's kind of on long lines of full moon, but it isn't exactly.
All right.
As I told your friend, I had gone into a town called Madison in Georgia and stopped at a convenience store and sold a motorcycle that I had. And from there, from the convenience store, I walked across the road to this little coffee shop, and I got a cat crawling on my shoulder.
is it a black cat, Joseph?
Oh, no. He's my best buddy.
Not that there's anything wrong with a black cat.
Oh, no. I've had plenty of them. But anyway, I walked across the road to the coffee shop, and I sat down at the front window so I could watch the traffic. And bearing in mind that I didn't touch the phone, didn't call, you know, get on the radio or anything like that. I sat there about 5 minutes, and I decided it was time to go home. And I turned and looked out the window towards where my mother and father lived, and I said, well, Mom and Dad, I guess it's time for y'all to come get me. And lo and behold, 10 minutes later, they showed up. And my dad said that they heard me as clear as a bell in their living room about 15 miles away, 10, 15 miles away. They, you know, heard me tell them, come get me. Now, it didn't freak me out, but I've had some things like that happen to me all through my life.
That's kind of magical.
Well, yeah, it's, I think it has more of a scientific explanation. It's a connection between family members. But, you know, I think it has more to do with, you know, like the firing of the neurons and the ganglia being close to being the
family. Well, there's no doubt that there is science in everything supernatural. However, science doesn't understand it, and therefore it comes across as just being supernatural. But you're right. There's a science in all of that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. It's like my dad used to tell me when I was growing up learning. He said, science is a tool that we were given so that we could understand this great creation.
You got that right. Hey, thanks for the call, Joseph. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. West of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is John from Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Yeah, John, welcome.
How are you doing, George?
Good.
Well, that's good. Well, first off, I want to get to misdirection. But first off, I wanted to say that before September the 11th, a few weeks before it, when the towers went, there were two lights that came over in the sky, and one right after the other on the same path, and they were bright. I live at the foothills of Mount Rainier, and there's a lot of activity in the skies around here. But the other night, I was outside, and I was looking up at the sky, and there were two stars that were dim. They were just blending right in with the sky. And all of a sudden, they both moved, and they moved very slow, and they stayed equal distance apart from one another. And instead of being real bright, they were dim. Now, 2 weeks or so prior to September the 11th, I told my family that I had seen these lights. And God told us to look to the heavens and to the stars and to the sky and in the last days because there'd be signs and wonders. I fully believe that he was letting me know that there was something up. So I told my family that there was something drastic that was going to come, and New York came into mind, but I didn't know what it was specifically. But now these two stars have come over again. They're not stars, though, but, you know, unidentified flying objects, whatever you want to call them.
Whatever they might be.
That's right. But because of the fact that the similarity is so great, except for that these were not brilliant, they were dim. Now, the reason for the brilliance of the ones that came over with the towers is because, I mean, that was an ominous thing that happened, and we had a lot of time to think about it, and it shined bright. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I was going to say, it could have been the intensity of the event, too.
That's right. Well, it was that, too. But now with these two coming over that are dim at this particular time, when all the eyes are on the land of Israel, which the Bible says would happen, this time, they're dim. The reason is because, so to speak, the lights are going to go out in several different ways. One is going to be because of the fact that Israel is going to get hit hard by some kind of a intended nuclear strike. Now, I don't know that it will develop fully. I don't know how good it'll go off. Maybe it'll just be a dirty bomb, but it's going to be very, very, very bad anyway.
How do you know this when you didn't know the other events?
Because the Spirit of the God is speaking to me and telling me, and I've been thinking about this a lot. It's just been overwhelming in me, and I'm not coming to these conclusions by thinking about it in my own mind. I'm thinking by way of the Spirit of the heart. I'm letting God think for me. I don't know how to say what's going to come. I can only say what I'm being shown and told.
You think you could be wrong, though, or this could be wrong?
No, I don't believe so. And also, I believe that because of the fact that Iran is playing chess with the world, she has sent apparently 20, 25 people into England, full well knowing that they were manipulating us.
Well, by the way, what I read is that most of these suspects in England were Asian, by the way, so it's even more difficult. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to some other calls. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi.
I was going to call to ask you about, what do you think, I'm Chris France calling from Skeen, Texas. I was going to ask you about, what do you think on August 22nd, about if there is a nuclear war, what do you think we should do, like, if we don't have any protection at all, our shelter?
Well, if it's going to be a nuclear war, they say it's going to be over there, not here. So I don't think you have to be concerned, even though the problem is that it's going to involve everybody. And, you know, if someone out there has a nuclear weapon and it is detonated, you are going to have World War III. Unfortunately, I don't think nations will sit back and take a breath and try to figure out what to do. In terms of what do you do, let me just recommend one major website, of course, and that's Stan Deyo's website. You can write it down. It's StanDeyo.com. Stan has some great free pointers out there for you on what to do during some various calamities. And if you're concerned about any of this, then I suggest you go to his website and take down some notes and start doing what he is suggesting you do, and make a friendly visit to your store or hardware store and start picking up some of these things that he recommends and start storing up on things and, you know, just put together a little kit, which you all should have had in the first place anyway, because, you know, you need flashlights and radios and some water and things like you know that's only smart to have, not just because of the possibility of terrorism, but in case anything else happens. I mean, look what happened in New Orleans. Had these people had some jugs of water that would have helped them at least for a little bit. In St. Louis, the power was out for a week 2 weeks ago. 600,000 homes and people without power. Everybody should have some kind of emergency kit available, whether you keep it in your car or in your closet, because, you know, you never want to use it, except the day that you have to, you'll be glad that you did. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is Andy in Houston.
Hi, Andy.
I've got something else I want people to think about, and you think about it, keep an eye out for, is people that with telepathy walking around among us.
Okay, how so?
Just watch out for things that like I had two experiences. One time, I think there's people that can walk that are walking around with us that can read minds. I had.
Oh yeah, but how do we know they know?
But see, you have to catch them off guard.
How?
Well, I'll give you an example.
All
I was
right.
Standing in a lobby, and there was this lady came down the elevator. She started looking around the lobby, and she couldn't. Evidently, she couldn't see the person she was looking for. So she walks over towards the door. And there's this other woman on walking towards the parking lot about 50 yards away. She pushes open the door, and immediately that other person whips around and looks at her. So to me it says, okay, she's calling her in her mind. And in another case, I just been told I was going to be laid off from my job. And I was walking down the hall, and there's a guy sitting and talking to another guy in an office. And as soon as I crossed that door, one of the guys just whipped around and looked at me. So for me, it says they can only read minds when they're in straight air contact.
Are these
solid in the way?
Are these people humans?
Yes, yes, yeah. I think they're just like, well, I hadn't thought about that, but it could be some others that look like us, but still can read minds.
That's right.
And what would people like that do? They'd be like salesmen. Politicians, you know, because wherever they use that power. And it has to be, from what I have seen, it has to be direct, eyeball to, well, not eyeball to eyeball, but direct with nothing in between you and them.
I'd like to have this gift.
Well, and I just want people to just be aware of it and see if they see examples of it, because you have to catch them off guard, you know. And it has to be.
You got to be careful, though. You know how many people accuse their neighbors of trying to read their minds?
I know.
It's like
I
a Twilight
that,
Zone.
But I'm just throwing that out there. And another thing about Muslim fundamentalism, the more liberal, progressive Muslim preachers and teachers tend to get killed. That's why we have so many radicals.
Maybe so. Maybe so. By the way, you talk about having the ability to be intuitive. Tonight was the night I wanted to keep open for open lines because, you know, I noticed it was going to be a full moon. And based on everything that's going on right now in our floating format, I got to tell you that had we had a scheduled guest tonight who was going to be talking about some unrelated subject, I would have had to have blown him out of the water tonight. I mean, there's just no doubt I had to have done that. So strange how some of these things working. I mean, we normally don't have open lines on a Wednesday night. Yet I felt this strange urge to do that this week when I was talking to producer Lisa. And she said, okay, whatever you want. And we did it, and here we are. And we're continuing, of course, to monitor the situation in the United Kingdom, where there will be a major news conference in Britain at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So it'll be coming up. So I'll try to give you updates next hour as well on that situation. It is having an effect across the whole planet right now, by the way. Brussels has canceled all flights going into London. And though this may be right now primarily a London-related episode, it's having its effects here in the United States now as well, as we are banning carrying all liquids on planes. I would assume that that will mean shaving cream and things like that. And it's just, you know, again, it's going to be a royal inconvenience for you. But, you know, that's the world we live in nowadays. And, you know, if you travel somewhere, you're going to have to just buy all your little items whenever you get to wherever you're supposed to be. I was going to be on a plane in a few days, as a matter of fact, and pop over to St. Louis. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. You've got a couple moments. Hi there. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, George?
Yes, sir.
This is Chris from Illinois.
Yeah, Chris.
I just had, well, I guess kind of a comment and a question.
Okay.
It seems like the parties are so divided in the United States, and we went into this war under, I'd say, bad circumstances, like false pretenses, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to say.
Well, we did. We were misguided on that.
It seems like it. And a lot of people don't know what to think. And it's dividing the party so bad. But I haven't heard any Republican or Democrat come out and say, hey, look, this is the way it is now, and we really need to deal with it. And maybe some of these people, Cheney, whoever, we maybe need to catch up with them, but it's very serious what's going on. And I think that we really need to deal with it, you know. I've voted mainly Democrat my life, but I don't have anything against Republicans.
And also keep in mind, a lot of Democrats voted in favor of this Iraq war as well.
Yes, that's
including Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and now it seems like they want to go back and forth, but it seems like we ought to be taking care of the business at hand and trying to get along with each other more. Huh?
Well, we better do something pretty soon because, man, if you believe in end times, and I had predicted this about a year ago, that I felt that the conditions were right for the beginning of all this. I mean, this is just absolutely incredible. I mean, the more you fight, the more people are going to retaliate, and they're going to come back and forth, and it's going to get ugly before it gets better, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it just seems like so many people just aren't willing. I don't know. I don't know if I agreed with this war from the beginning. I knew it was going to happen. I think I'd be happier if we would have got Bin Laden. You know, that's who we went after.
Which should have been the mission in the first place, and I think everybody was in favor of doing that. You know, that just
and then he went into Iraq because of mass weapons, and we didn't find anything. Seems like he was real determined to do that, but maybe that's like the world order you're talking about, some of their plans. It kind of seems like, you know, these things could be happening, but no, nonetheless, this is the way it is now. No matter how we got here, this is where we're at.
We're in the kettle, and we got to make sure we can get out of it.
Yeah, I don't wonder. You think we should
cooked.
Leave? Should we leave over there?
That's a catch 22 now. I mean, you know, now you're in a situation where if you leave, the entire country collapses, even though it's almost collapsed as it is. I mean, the Civil War, you know, you got 15, 20, 30, 40 people dying every day in a various area or city. I mean, this is just a horrible situation. We're trapped. We're absolutely trapped right now. We can't get out. I wish we could, and we're languishing in that situation. That is bad. The whole thing is bad. And all I can say is we got to keep fighting the good fight. And I don't mean necessarily the war. I mean trying to get this world convinced that killing each other is not the way to do it. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM.